Lord is risen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, Church of the Transfiguration, Little Church Around the Corner. And thank you for your warm welcome. I bring you greetings from Virginia Theological Seminary, its dean and president, its faculty and its staff, the Center for Anglican Communion Studies, where I am based, and from the almost Reverend Ignacio Solano Gomez, who is currently worshiping with us online. Warm greetings from all of us to all of you this joyful Easter time. Today is the second Sunday of Easter, the octave or eighth day, which has several other names as well. It's called Low Sunday, perhaps because after the high and glorious music, organ and choir, trumpets and symphony, sometimes lilies and lilacs, newly polished brass, and the return of the A-word after 40 long days of Lent, whatever Sunday would come after that would be less glorious. Or maybe because church attendance is usually lower this Sunday, so thanks for being here and challenging the stereotype. For those of you who are caught with the evilness, quarantine mass junkies, I know there are some. Or maybe just fans of Victor Hugo and Les Miserables. This Sunday is also known as Quasimodo Sunday, because the old hymn choice that began the Mass for the second Sunday of Easter was taken from 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, yearn for the pure spiritual milk. Or in Latin, Quasimodo Genesi infante rationa pire sine domo lat pontificis. You can see why that's shortened to quite a little But most people call this day Thomas Sunday, as we should, because as you heard, our gospel lesson is the story of the wonderful encounter between the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and his disciple Thomas that happens today on the eighth day of Easter in John's Gospel. Thomas, as you know, has traditionally gotten a bad rap and has gained the epithet Doubting Thomas, because when the other disciples told him a week ago on Easter evening that they had seen the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, Thomas responded, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hands in his side, I'm not going to believe that. I'd like to rename this day Let's Give Thomas a Break Sunday. Or maybe Brave Thomas Sunday. At the beginning of the story about the raising of Lazarus, back in chapter 11 of John's Gospel, Jesus hears the news about the death of his good friend Lazarus, and then says to the disciples, let us go back to Judea again. The disciples are quick to helpfully remind him, Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to kill you, and are you going back there again? Jesus insisted that yes, he would be returning to Judea. And it is Thomas who speaks up. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Thomas Didymus, which is Greek for Thomas the twin, was ready to go back into a place of known danger to support and protect his teacher, and if that failed, to die with him. That's an impressive faith commitment in my book. Things went better in Judea than they had expected, at least at first they did. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, and he came out, still wrapped in the winding sheets of his burial. Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. But John's Gospel makes it clear that the new life of Lazarus was the trigger for the death of Jesus. The problem was that Lazarus had become something of a local celebrities, and a crafting teacher. Everyone wanted to see the man who had been brought back from the dead. So as the Passover feast was approaching, the religious leaders resolved to put both Jesus and Lazarus to death, since so many people were believing in Jesus because of that last sign. They managed to persuade the governor, Pontius Pilate, that Jesus was a political threat to the Roman Empire. Pilate, famous for his cruelty, was happy to comply, and Jesus was duly crucified. John's Gospel takes pains to describe his death on the cross, mentioning specifically, only in John do we get the reference to nails, mentioning the nails in his hands and the spear wound in his side specifically, because as you can see, they are important for this second part of the story. The identity of the man who died on the Roman cross on Friday, and also the man who greeted Mary Magdalene and met with the disciples by coming through the doors of a locked room on Sunday evening. It's the identity question that is worrying Thomas. Love hearing the dog But more with you, we will appreciate Thomas. We should all be grateful to Thomas for at least two reasons. First, he said aloud what he was thinking, and what any reasonable person might have thought upon hearing the news that a dead man had appeared alive again and had come through locked doors to meet with his disciples. Thomas asked the question any of us would have asked. Yeah, how could this be the case? For real? And secondly, it's because of the stress on the physicality of Jesus, his physical death and his physical rising from the dead, his physical body in the room with the disciples, that we also are assured that it was the same person on Friday and on Sunday evening. And John can even be playful, laughing not at Thomas, but with Thomas, the twin, who gets his own special resurrection appearance on the octave of Easter. And it is a twin appearance. In both stories, it's the first day of the week. In both stories, the disciples are gathered together behind locked doors, afraid they might also be targeted for death. In both stories, Jesus comes through the locked doors as if they were wide open and stands there among them. In both stories, he gives them the same greeting, peace be with you. And now he comes specifically to Thomas, as if he had heard that earlier conversation which we are told about, which makes us wonder if there are any limits to where the body of the resurrected Jesus Christ can be. And smiling, I think, he invites Thomas to check out the wounds of his body that will identify him to Thomas. Yes, Jesus seems to say, it's really me. And Thomas believes it at once. He gives the best confession of faith in the gospel. My Lord and my God! Thomas receives and believes is blessed. And so are we who have not seen and still believe. Jesus invites us, just as he invited Thomas, to believe and have life in his name. So thank you, Thomas, for asking the question that we would have wanted to ask if we had been there. Since you asked it, we can listen in, as it were, as we prepare to welcome the body and blood of the risen Lord here in this room today. Or rather, as the body and blood of the risen Lord prepares to welcome us. Because Jesus is the host of this heavenly banquet. And we, like Thomas, are invited to draw nearer to him, to feel him, and to be blessed by being in his presence. What an invitation. What a gift. What a joyful Easter feast. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.